talk for today. I treat everyone with respect and get respect in return. I treat everyone with respect and get respect in return. I treat everyone with respect and get respect in return. What does that mean? What does that mean to treat everyone with respect? Well, if we do not respect ourselves, we cannot treat everyone with respect. Because respect begins within ourselves. Now, what does respect mean? What does respect mean for ourselves? What does integrity mean? What does self-love mean? Not narcissistic or hedonistic love, but the love of who you are. Each one of you is divine. Each one of us is fantastic. Each one of us is magnificent. Now, if we treat everyone from that center of love within ourselves, if we treat everyone from the recognition of who we are, then naturally we'll get that same respect back. Because whatever we give out comes back to us. Now, we're not giving out to have it come back. That's not the purpose. We don't give a smile to get a smile. We give a smile because we are a smile. We don't give respect to get respect back. We give respect because we are respect. We are integrity. We are purity. We are goodness. We are truth. We are wonder. And that's all we can ever get back. Do you understand that? I understand that. If you understand it, I don't care. I understand it. I understand that only as I am loving do I get love back. Not that I want love back. I don't care. I'm just loving. And I just spread my loving everywhere. I spread my joy everywhere. I spread my truth about myself everywhere. I spread everything that I am. That's all you can do. That's all I can do. It's just be myself and have fun. Do you understand what that means now a little better? Be yourself and have fun. Yourself is integrity. Yourself is purity. Yourself is respect. Yourself is joy. Yourself is abundance. Yourself is truth. Yourself is happiness. Wow, you know. When you are that, what happens? All the world is that. Because all the world is your reflection. Now, perhaps that makes that word have a little more meaning to us. We say the world reflects back to us who and what we are. Well, what about when the world reflects back to me an accident or an unhappiness? Naughty, naughty, naughty. That's who you are. That's who you're thinking is. Well, I didn't create all these dumb things taking place. You sure did. I didn't create unhappiness in my life. You sure did. I didn't create having an accident. You sure did. I didn't create all of this money in my world. Really? You sure did. You created everything in your world. It doesn't matter what it is. And all we have to do is say, whoops, I got to get my act in order. There's an accident over there. I don't create accidents in my world. I don't create accidents in my life. I don't create accidents anywhere. I don't even know how to spell accidents. Whatever we concentrate on, that's what we get. We read the daily newspapers, we read, watch television, listen to the radio. We hear the story of what's going on in other people's worlds. Now, have you ever noticed you walk down the street and there's thousands of people you walk by and you don't see them. You don't see them, you don't see them. But your mother walks by, oh, hi, Mom. Out of the thousands of people, pop, up she comes like a wonderful bubble. Because she is your consciousness. You're walking down the street, and you are footloose and fancy free, and you have no partner, and all of a sudden your eyes glue onto some person on the other side of the street even. And you stand there. And you follow that person, him or her, and you're thinking to yourself, my God, why am I so taken by that person? And then you think to yourself, I got to meet them. And then you go about your business with some other things. And you sit down in the restaurant. There's that person again, standing right in front of you. And then, next thing you know, some incident happens that makes you become acquainted with the person. They trip in front of you, or they spill something on you, or something. Excuse me, I'm sorry, you know. And my name is John. I'm Henry. I'm Harry. I'm Mary. I'm Janie, or whatever you are. And well, I'm happy to know you. Oh, think nothing of it. Oh, sit down, have some coffee, you know. See, you have a reason to do it. And then the next thing you know, you get married. Next thing you know, that's that special person in your life that you waited for all your life. And you said, I got to make it happen. I got to make it happen. You make it happen by being who you are. If you are a glorious, fantastic person, the kind of person you'd like to live with, then you will see that face in the crowd. You will be introduced. May and Kip love to tell their story. Kip was a friend of Connie, and Kip's girlfriend couldn't come to a particular event they were going to. And then Connie says, well, I got a friend there who doesn't have a date. Perhaps you'll come and, you know, take her out. And so Kip was sitting in the living room waiting for the girls to come out. And he could see the crack of the kitchen door. And he saw this one girl sitting there at the kitchen table putting food on the tray. And he said to himself, that's my girl. That's who I'm going to marry. That's Miss Wonderful. And then my sister May came walking out with my sister Marie and Connie. And Kip says, wow. And he never let go of her until about 3 weeks later, and they got married. You know, that's fast. But you see, how could that happen? He was ready for Miss Wonderful, Miss Wright, the person he's going to spend his life with, and he is spending his life with her. And he wanted to be with her. And he created her out of his own consciousness. When the purity in him saw the purity of his ideas in someone else, then that made that perfect match. When his own integrity was so pure and so beautiful, he created a world around him filled with integral people, with people who are fantastic and sincere and wonderful. Do you have a world of integral people that are around you? You do, who are just like you. Now, if you like yourself, then you'll have a wonderful world around. If you don't like yourself, you're going to create a bunch of nonsense around you. If you think it's fun watching pornographic movies, pretty soon they'll be your fair and they'll be your world. If you like watching wild westerns, that'll be your fair and that'll be your world. You'll attract people in your world who like to talk about westerns. If you like karate and judo and all those things, the martial arts, you're going to create those people in your world, and you're going to create the need to use it. Whatever things you place in your consciousness, your outer world reflects it back to you in the opportunity to experience it. Truly, truly. It sounds kind of strange. It sounds like that shouldn't be so, but it is. It always has been. It always is exactly whatever we think is what we get back. So now, how do we start respecting ourselves? Well, to respect yourself, you have to have a philosophy of life. What is your philosophy of life? What sort of attitudes do you have about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? Whatever you believe about yourself is written all over you. Now, you can't see it. You can't see it in yourself. That's a blessing. But you can see it in everyone around you. Now, Ellen sometimes thinks, I'm a bubble, I'm a wonderful person, I'm a this. And then she creates some non-bubbles around her. And she thinks, why would I create a non-bubble around me when I'm such a bubble? Because you have times when you're not a bubble. And whenever you create a non-bubble around you, it's a time that you're not a bubble, and it's a time for you to get your act in order. It's just like a sort of a red light shining out there saying, whoops, 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 wrong direction. When Whenever you see anything that is not you, that you would not like to have be you, in your world, that's the time to get to work on it. So, I've given this illustration before, but it's a neat one. The little boy comes in the house and says, "Mommy, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." And most mommies would say, "Why, you little so-and-so," and slap, slap, bang, bang, go sit in the corner. But this mother was a very sensitive mother. And she says, "Well, what seems to be the trouble now?" "Well, I hate you." "Now, come on, Jeff, tell me what seems to be the trouble." And so Jeff says, "Well, Johnny said he doesn't like me anymore. He said he doesn't want to be my friend." "Well, why does Johnny say he doesn't want to be your friend?" "Well, we had a fight." "Oh, you did? And who won?"
"I did."
"And Johnny doesn't want to be your friend anymore?" "Well, that sounds reasonable. Why were you fighting?" "Well, he wanted my truck and I wanted my truck." "Did you give him your truck?" "No, I told him he can't have it. We had a fight." "Well, why don't you just go over and tell Johnny he can have your truck and see what he says? Just go see what he says." And so Jeff goes over and says, "Johnny, here's my truck. You can have it." And Johnny says, "Oh, gosh, Jeff, that's wonderful. I love that truck. Here, you can have mine." Same truck. Exactly the same. Different paint job. Same truck. But Johnny liked Jeff's truck. And Jeff said, "What the heck? I don't care. A truck's a truck." You know, he was not possessed by the truck. But his mother could have been very difficult. She could have spanked his little bottom until it was red and had him go sit in the corner and say to himself, "I love my mommy, I love my mommy, I love my..." But that wasn't the problem, was it? That wasn't the problem. You see, many times we try to solve the problem that's not the problem. And when we try to solve a problem that's not the problem, we don't solve the problem, do we? Because we're not solving what is the problem. Now, what was the problem with Jeff? The problem with Jeff was his world was mean and his world was terrible and his world wasn't working out right. And he was unhappy, and in his world is his mommy, and in his world is anybody that comes along. And so he goes into his sister's room and he says, "I hate you, I hate you." He goes into his mommy's kitchen and she says, "I hate you, I hate you." He got a little bit of action out of the sister. The sister says, "Get out of here, I'll beat you." But mommy didn't say that. Mommy says, "Well, what seems to be the problem?" You see, when we really look at what the problem is, what is the problem? Why do people like to watch violence? Why do people like to watch fights, you know, fisticuffs? And why do they like the martial arts? Get with this now. Everybody doesn't like fights. Everybody doesn't like the martial arts. If they did, we would be a martial art world. We'd be a fight world, right? There are very few among the 6 billion people on the face of the earth who like the fights. There are not that many fight auditoriums around. There are not that many fights going on. Get with it. It's not real. It's just a few. Now, do you want to be some of that few? Now let's look at the other side of the coin. How about these people who are happy? Do you see people who are happy in your world? Is that the norm? You say, "Well, not really." Oh, yes. The norm is peace. The norm is happiness. The norm is right action. The norm is truth. The norm is abundance. The norm is good health. The norm is all that which is beautiful and good. Because if it were not the norm, and you've already acquiesced to this statement, if it were not the norm, it would be the thing that everyone would do, and it would destroy itself. If violence were what the norm was and what everyone does, it would destroy itself. It has to. If the world is a world of love, it will destroy violence. It will put violence to field, and you'll never know it again. As a man thinketh. Are you thinking about violence? Then violence is yours. But fortunately, most of the 6 billion people on earth do not think about violence. They think about their lovely family, their lovely world, their lovely job, their lovely body, their lovely experiences. They look at the sun and they say, isn't that lovely? They look at the moon and the stars and they say, isn't that lovely? They don't say, oh, those damn stars, oh, that terrible moon, oh, that bad sun. Name it and claim it. You see, respect is whatever we believe about ourselves, whatever we think about ourselves. Now, what do you think about yourself? What kind of person are you? We spoke about the 6 billion people on earth. Hey, there's not one other being on the face of this earth except you or me. And I don't mean or. You see, I am the only person on the face of this earth. The whole world is here as my playground. My whole world is for me as a reflection. Each one of you have no individuality. You have no uniqueness. You are my reflection. And if I'm good, you're good. If I don't like myself, you don't like yourself. Remember that. The whole world is a reflection of our attitudes. Well, you say, well, what about some of the bad things done here and some of the good things done here and stuff? That's right. They're your reflection. We keep our minds so pure, so perfect, so fantastic, we do not see one trace of evil in the world. Let me ask you a simple question. And it's so simple that it'll boggle your mind, I'm sure. Do little children see evil in the world before their parents tell them about it? Do little children see unhappiness in the world? Do they see things not working out? No. Do little children find joy to giggle over nothing in hundreds of times and hundreds of circumstances? Sure. Do little children go around looking for trouble? Only when their parents teach it to them. To little children, they're so pure. They're so without guile, without any thought of anger or angst about anybody. They're just wonderful. And then we, the happy adults in their life, start to teach them, hey, that's a terrible world out there. That's a world that's tough. You got to be on your toes. And that's not true. The world out there is just whatever we are. Why can a little child have a perfect world? Why does a little child have a world where his mommy is not there, his daddy is not there? Why does a little child have a world where the mommy puts him in the garbage can, throws him out, somebody finds him, and takes him in? Why do they do that? Why do they have a world where some mommy puts him in the garbage can and nobody takes him out and he dies? Why do we have worlds where that can happen or that does happen? It's very rare. But that's somebody's consciousness. Is it yours? Do you have to hear me talk about it? Do you have to read about it? Do you have to hear about it? Don't create it in your world. You know, you look at some people in the world and you think to yourself, what a beautiful soul. What a glorious being. What a wonderful person. I don't know what it is about that person, but I just feel good about them. It's like the charisma of Larry. You just feel good about them. There's something that's so pure and so innocent and so good about that person. You just have to love him. He doesn't know what it is. You don't know what it is, and you don't need to know. And he doesn't need to know. He is it. He is it because he likes himself. He loves himself. He loves the world. He just feels good about everything. Now, that kind of person is a very special person. But I'll ask you a question. How could Jeff see that in somebody else? How could you or I see that in somebody else unless it was within us? That Larry whoever that fictitious person may be. His name is really Jeff, you know. His name is really Sylvia, Anita, Ellen, Ingeborg, and John, Herb. His name is really our own name. Continue looking out into the world and seeing through your own respectful eyes how beautiful the world is, how wonderful it is, how fantastic it is. And that's the way it'll be for you. In The Sound of Music, the girl came to the Mother Superior and said, "I must confess." And the mother said, "You don't have to." She says, "Well, I must. I got to get it out." "Well, if you must, go ahead." A lot of times, we're like that. We must get it out. We must get it out. We must say where our problems are, where our unhappiness is, where our hurts are. And when we do that, we empower them. You say, "Well, you get it off your chest." Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get it out in the world. Do I need to know that Anita had a broken heart? That Anita lost her true love? Her true love went dashing off of some other lovely beauty, and she was standing there at the church, you might say, holding her bouquet of flowers, and her man ran off with some other doll, you know. And Anita said, and then as Anita was standing there crying, some handsome young swain comes up and says, "What are you crying about, love?" "Well, I was going to get married and my sweetheart dumped me." "Well, he certainly had his eyes closed, didn't he?" "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you are a very special lady." "I'd like to believe that, but why did he dump me?" "Well, does it matter why he dumped you? And does it matter why you're so wonderful? You just be who you are, and that right person will come along, you'll see." Now, you all expected it to be him, of course. And he went on his way, planting the seed. And then a bunch of rowdy kids came driving up and said, "Ha, ha, ha, she got ditched, she got dumped, she got ditched." And Anita starts crying all the more. And then another young man comes up, and he says, "Say, lady, I've been watching you. You've been letting everybody's attitude shake you up. You're beautiful. Nothing should ever shake you up." And he drives away. And so the day goes. She's standing there in front of the church with her flowers and her bridal gown on and crying and laughing and crying and laughing. By the end of the day, she got it out of her system. And she goes home and changes, goes out to the restaurant, has a nice dinner, and the waiter comes up and spills coffee on her. And he says, "I'm sorry, sweetheart." And Anita looks up at him and says, "You know, that's the nicest thing that happened to me today. Somebody said they're sorry. Everybody else just ignored my unhappiness. You unhappy? Why, you're a doll." She says, "I'd like to believe that." He says, "Well, how about going to a dance with me tonight? I got 2 tickets and I only got me." And she says, "Sure, I'll go along with you." So she goes along, doesn't tell him anything about losing her boyfriend, doesn't tell her anything that she was going to get married today and all of a sudden she didn't have it anymore. She didn't say anything about it. And he says, "Hey, you know, you're quite a wonderful person." And she was reflecting what he was thinking, and he was reflecting what she was thinking. She got her act together. She started putting her thinking in order. All the terror of the day, of the coming and going, the crying and laughing, being dumped at the altar, all those things forgotten. A day in infamy, forgotten. Better be forgotten. And then the young waiter danced like Anita had never danced before. And she fell in love with this fabulous young fellow. And after a suitable time of mourning from losing her thing, she accepts him. Yes? Mm-hmm. True, huh? So after a suitable time of mourning, about 2 days later, they started going hot and heavy together, and she found the perfect one. But you see, we have to not let go. Letting go is good, but we have to focus new on what it is that's important for us. Letting go is wonderful. Letting go is fantastic. But if you're going to concentrate on letting go, you're not going to be concentrating on what it is you want to experience. And Anita was ready to experience love. And of course, it came her way. But if she concentrated on losing the love, on losing the love, on losing the love, it could never come her way. These are things that all of us have to experience from time to time. These are things that we all have to. But first, we have to respect ourselves. And when you respect yourself, then every doorway is open for you. When you respect yourself, then everyone sees in you who you are. When you don't respect yourself, everyone sees in you who you are afraid you might be. You're afraid you might be a loser. You're afraid you might be unsuccessful. You're afraid you might not look beautiful. I look at some of these movies, and I see some of these actors and actresses, and I think to myself, the day of the beautiful, handsome people is over. The character actor has now taken front row center, and virtually all the great movies now are featuring people with maturity, people with character, people with presumed flaws, but they rise above them. It's quite good. Or maybe that's just the movies I watch. The movies that have a little quality to them. But that's our choice. Where do you stand? Do you like the world you're seeing about you? If you don't, change yourself. It isn't the world about you that has the problem. It's just you. If you leave the monastery here, and you're free to do that anytime you want, don't leave the monastery to get away from something. Go to something. Go to some experience. To something that you have all set up and you're ready to enjoy. But if you run away from anything, you're going to take yourself with you. And yourself is going to have that same thing that you ran away from. Only you won't see it in the new experiences you have. It'll look like totally new experiences, but it'll be the old thing that you ran away from. I don't want anyone here at the monastery. I don't want anyone on the grounds here. All that I choose to see here at the monastery are not only monks, but masters. And anyone who doesn't want to be a master, absolutely responsible for themselves and their thought. They have no place here because they'll be ill-suited. And every one of us, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do to any person who comes here and doesn't want to see himself as a master? You know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do?
See him as a master.
We're going to see him as a master. They don't have a chance. Anybody who comes here and doesn't see themselves as a master, we're going to see him as a master. Because?
A master sees another master.
A master sees another master. Exactly. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That's respect. And that respect floods back to us from what we have given out. A master sees another master. Are you ready to be this master that sees another master? Are you ready to be fully in charge of your life? If you're ready to be fully in charge of your life, then come ye, come all, and enjoy. For I love you very, 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 very much. If I say another very, I will be right at the 30 minutes.